Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, oh, Nathaniel, an appetite for a winner. She keep me warm in the winter. So flexible when I bend her. In the bed, take a little more to fill her. Huh, she's carefree. She only wanna take care of me. And she fly head to toe. Just can't let her go.
And rock me back to sleep all in one night. Never would she let you win her heart without a fight. And
good evening and welcome to the Love Line with Allison. Tonight we'll be interviewing the beautiful and talented Teresa B. Howell. Teresa, how are you?
I'm here.
Hi, hey. How are you? Hey.
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. So tell my listeners a little bit about you and where you're from.
Well, I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts, but I'm currently residing in Durham, North Carolina. I am an educator, so I'm on spring break now.
Woo-hoo. Okay.
And I wrote my first novel, That Church Life, last May. So I'm excited about part two that's about to come out. But a little bit more about me. I'm married. I have two boys, 19 and 9. And I'm just on here to chat away.
Awesome. Oh, that's an age gap. That sounds kind of like me and my siblings. Between your boys. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's rough, I'm gonna tell you. The 19-year-old, he think he's grown, but he's not. And then the 9-year-old is trying to be like him, but
so
he's not. You know,
he's not.
Just, yeah. It's just a funny scene.
So. I bet. So tell me more about your book, That Church Life.
Okay. Basically, there's three girls who are in the church. They started off when they were young in church. When they graduated high school, they kind of separated ways for about five years over fallout, and then they came back together again, realizing that the church is where they should be. One girl in particular, she's still not really feeling church, but she came back anyway for the sake of her friends. And then there is a guy, there's always a guy who causes a lot of chaos. He's a musician. And there's a twist at the end with him that I can't tell you about. But they go through, you know, lots of trials and tribulations trying to figure it out, trying to figure sisterhood out, and really dedicated to each other up until part two because something else happens. So.
Ooh. Yeah, I've got to hurry up and read That Church Life.
Yeah, it's a mystery thriller suspense. It will keep you on the edge. The first couple of chapters, you're going to wonder, like, what's going on with her. She's, like, making some decisions that doesn't make sense to the reader, but after the first couple of chapters, you're like, oh, this is what's going on with her, and you'll get to see her character flourish after that.
Okay. So tell me, where do you get your ideas from?
Well, I've been in church all my life, so I've
right.
seen so much.
Yes.
And I'm a big mystery thriller reader, and I love watching television shows like How to Get Away with Murder and things like that that, you know, has a little twist to it. So with that, I said, well, there is a lot of drama that does happen in the church. We just don't talk about it.
Right.
So I decided to write about it, and kind of on the edge, you know, it may be between Christian fiction and mystery thriller suspense, right on in the middle of the highway with it.
Right.
It's just one of those things where I was encouraged to write by a traumatic experience, started writing, got through it, and next thing you know, I was creating a novel, and that was not what I intended, but that's where I ended up.
Well, you know, that's how it happens. I've kind of fell into writing professionally the same way. You know, had just separated from my first husband and was going through and feeling a lot of different emotions, and I just started writing them out, and before you knew it, I had a novel. And
yeah.
So, you know, I believe it's just God's plan, and that's just how he works it out for us. So.
I believe that, too, because I surely didn't see it coming. I can tell you that much. So I know it had to be God, because I was looking around like, I wrote a book. Like, that was the last thing on my mind.
Yeah. Exactly.
So,
me
yeah. But it always seems to come from the heart, and sometimes tragedies that may go on. I know it's a lot of writers, that's where their writing skills start off at. But the good thing about writing is that people can see me grow in my writing.
Yes.
You know, that's huge to me, because my first novel, you know, it's good, but I want to be even better my next novel. So, you know.
Absolutely. And no matter how many years, you know, someone's been doing it, there's always room for growth, you know.
Exactly. So I just encourage all those writers out there, keep writing, because it's difficult when you're dealing with fiction, because you're trying to be unique, and, you know, there's so many stories out there.
Right.
But just keep writing, because, you know, you might just have the opportunity to get that following that, you know, believe in you. And I'm
Absolutely.
Fortunate enough that I have that following that, you know, I don't know where half these people came from. But the good thing is I made some really good friends along the way. And
right.
I have some really good book clubs that are excited about part two. So as long as I continue to get better, I think, you know, I will keep all my new friends. Now, if my writing starts to stink, they'll be like, nah, Teresa, we can't follow you. But but right now, it's a good run. Doing a lot of exciting things and, you know, going on, traveling with the book. So it's been good.
That's awesome, and I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Does your family support your career as a writer?
They do. In the beginning, they didn't understand. They was like, why? You know, why are you going everywhere? I didn't know that this was going to happen. They didn't know that it was going to happen. Had no idea that it was going to be in demand like this for the first couple of months of the book being out. But after we kind of got used to the rhythm of me traveling, you know, everybody was fine, and I just give my husband lots of props, because I don't know how he does it when I'm not away, while I'm away. Like, the kids, everything is the same schedule, and they seem to make it happen. So, but yeah, they're very supportive.
That's good. That's great, and shout out to the hubby. Having a supportive spouse is very important.
It is
to us, right?
And it's very hard to find.
Yes. Very.
Yeah, not all of them are supportive now. Not all.
So if you get to a good one that's supportive, hold on tight, y'all.
That's right. So I met you in the beginning of my journey. I think I was I still writing when I inboxed
you?
That's
right. Yes,
yeah.
I believe you were. Yes, that's right.
Someone had referred me to you, and I was asking all these questions, and he was helping me with everything. And then I got hooked up with Keisha Green, and it just took off from there.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do now that you mentioned it. I was like, wait a minute. Because when you first said it, I was like, did I meet her in person? I said, Lord, am I getting so old that I forget people I meet
face-to-face? You know, we just did a lot of phone and messenger, and like, he was just trying to help me connect for a book cover and all that other stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but we've met in person, I don't think.
Mm-mm. Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Oh, shout out to Miss Keisha Green. That's my buddy. Keisha Green Frazier. Excuse me, y'all. She's a married woman.
Hey, Keisha. Yeah, she's a beautiful. I was on her show a while back. But yeah, she does a lot to help out authors. She's doing it big too.
Yes, she is. First time I was ever a guest on her show was way back when she first got started. Back in, I want to say it was late 2007. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. When I first got started, and I think she had been in the industry for about a year. And, been doing the radio show for just a month or two when I was on her show way back when. And
okay.
So yeah, it's been a long time because I had just gotten started myself. So.
Cool.
I can't help but smile when I think about how long it's been, and still time doesn't seem like it's been that long, you know.
Well, us newbies appreciate y'all.
Oh, and we love y'all too. We do. So, when does part two drop?
I am finishing up the last few chapters as we speak, and then it will go to, I have several people that I really want to edit. So I have a developmental editor that I want to use, and we're going to start that process. And then there's a Christian fiction editor that I would like to look at it after that. So it has a couple of phases to go through.
Okay.
I'd say maybe by my goal is to get it out by June 20th. Yeah.
Oh, that would be my parents' 37th wedding anniversary.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. Mm. Well, let's see if we can get it out on their date. That's the goal. You know, hopefully she will look at it and say, oh, it's not too much developmental stuff I gotta do.
Right.
It will take, you know, less time, but I just want to make sure that it's right. I don't want to rush it,
absolutely,
you know, like I did the first one.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, well, you know, we in, you know, publishing and especially self-publishing, it's a learning process. So,
yes,
you know, no matter how many pointers we get, we still have to kind of learn by trial and error, because everything works out, different things work out differently for different people. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we would get anxious because, you know, we wanted to drop, we, you know, but in the end, you want quality too. You know, you just don't want,
absolutely,
to put something out there and then, you know, you don't have, your fan base goes away because your writing stinks. So you want to make sure,
yeah,
that, you know, and I'm one of those OCD people anyway. So I, when I did part one, I think I had like 55 drafts.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was serious. So I don't even know how many drafts I got of this one, but I can tell you that I have changed the storyline about 5 times.
Do not feel bad. I'm working on a piece myself, and storyline kind of changed about a couple of times since I started it myself. So do not feel bad about that. Which actresses and, of course, actor who would play the musician, and if your book was to turn into a movie?
Oh, let's see. That's a good question. So Tommy is light-skinned with really light eyes,
mm-hmm,
and he has curly, like Indian curly hair.
Mm.
Like a slim physique. He has a slim physique.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Who would fit that bill in on TV?
Michael Ealy could.
Michael Ealy. Yeah, that's a good choice. So Michael Ealy would be Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Missy is really long hair,
mm-hmm,
petite, and she's about maybe 5'6". 5'5" or something around there.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, who would play her? And she's very dramatic, so it has to be a dramatic actress, okay? Because she,
mm-hmm,
is full of drama. What's the Ross, Diana Ross's daughter?
Tracy Ellis Ross.
Tracy Ellis Ross. I think she would play that part because she's dramatic like that. But then she might be too old to do it because it has to be a younger person.
Yeah. And even though I was going to say maybe Sanaa Lathan could.
Yeah, she could actually play that role.
Yeah,
she sure could. Now, Michelle, she's dark-skinned, and she,
mm-hmm,
she does some things that she ain't supposed to be doing to her friend. That is more like a, I'm trying to think of the actress's name that she has her TV show on, BET. She's married to a basketball player.
Hmm.
What is her name? She's very current. She has a lot of stuff. But the guy that used to, Dwayne Wade's wife,
Gabrielle Union. Yeah.
Gabrielle Union. She would be a perfect Michelle.
Mm,
and then
okay,
the other girl, Natalia, she's got the smart mouth. Let's see, who could play her? That's more like a Queen Latifah type mouth. Or,
okay.
Yeah, somebody on that level. But she's, like, fair-skinned, too. And she's short.
Hmm.
I have to think about that one.
Yeah, I'm sitting here like, But
makes you go into deep thought, right?
I had an idea until you said she was short. Because I was going to say the girl who played Monique's friend in the movie Fat Girls, and she also plays the daughter on Love Thy Neighbor, Tyler Perry's show.
Yeah, that would be perfect. And then they have Pastor Henry Jones, that's the dad. We'd find anybody to be a preacher.
All right.
And you have the new boyfriend, this is new boyfriend, Beanie. He's from Jamaica. He's like tall, dark, handsome, with clean, sparkling white teeth.
Ooh.
I don't know who would play him, but he look in the book. His description is,
Tay Diggs or even Lance Gross could pull it off, probably. You know, just
probably
just
Lance.
What I'm picturing in my head. That's my husband in my head, so you know I'm loaning him out.
Well, there you go. And that would be the cast.
Well, all right. Oh, wait. So, do you think that book covers play an important part in the buying process?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. As you can see, I went through two. The first one, I really liked the first one, actually, but the bookstores were the one that was, that they were giving me problems with the first cover because they said it was too dark. So I got another book cover by another graphic designer that made it a little bright and easier to see on the bookshelf, and so that seemed to get more attention when that one came out.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I sold a lot of the first one, which I feel bad because now it's a series. So all those people that had their first cover, when the second one comes out, it's not going to match. But, you know, what can you do?
It's okay. Things happen.
I know, right? So, but yeah, book covers, I do think it plays a very vital role, even when it comes down to getting a distributor for your book. They're very picky on what the book looks like and if they want to carry it in their warehouse and things like that. So,
how many they may carry depends on what they really think about it. So, yeah,
exactly.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, so I think I made the right decision by getting a new one, but I really hate that I had to because, like I said, Justin Young did a really good job on the first one. But I had to go by what the lit world wants.
Right. Absolutely. What do you think of book trailers?
I notice that people pay a lot of money for them.
Yeah.
And the sad part about it is nobody really pays attention to them like they used to.
Yeah, now, when I first came in the industry, they were a big thing. They were the must-have. If you didn't have a book trailer, people looked at you like, what? But now it's like, book trailer, what's that? And, you know,
exactly.
It's funny how things have evolved. You know, so much since, well, actually now, you know, people who are kind of gifted and have that kind of time to do it can even do them from their phone.
I heard there's an app. What app is that?
The person I know that does hers on her phone does them from her iPhone, and it's the iMovie app.
Wow. That's good to know. Yeah, because I see a lot of people. Well, there's this one particular company that is like behind time, and they tried to hit me up a couple weeks ago, asking me did I want a book trailer, and they're charging like astronomical prices, and I had to let them know like you're outdated, like nobody's gonna pay $500, $700 for a book trailer, like.
The scary thing is that's not the worst price I've ever heard, especially recently, for a book trailer. Try
$3,500. Ooh, okay. I mean,
and
like
somebody
was there
actually paid it. No.
Nope,
and it
nope,
looked like
nope.
It looked like it had been done on the cell phone. You know, now there are some that are done on cell phones and they look nice, but this looked like it had been done on the cell phone. And the person who it belonged to actually paid $3,500. And I'm like, ew. Like, that's not, no. That's not nice. I mean, I'm not going to say names, even though I feel that dude got gypped. I won't, you know, but I won't say names on the radio. But, yeah, it just wasn't cool. Nah. Mm-mm.
Well, unfortunately, you have a lot of con artists out there that prey on new authors. And, you know, I read up on, you know, the statistics of how many books come out a week. And Amazon supposedly gets over 100,000 books being published a week. So, you know, when you think about all these new authors that come out.
I said, wow, per week. I said, I didn't even know that it was like that, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's crazy, you know, how many people they prey on, especially, like, on Facebook, because I am a victim of some fraud, and I'm also a victim of, you know, someone taking your money or charging you a high price for a product, and you really, either it wasn't satisfactory or you didn't get the product at all. So,
oh, man.
You know, yeah, a lot of people because we, you know, as newbies, we don't really know any better, you know. So being new to the game, I guess it takes that experience. You have to get burnt at least one time before you realize that it's sad, but when you realize how many people are out there, you know, and especially if people see you doing well, they prey on you even more because they think you're making all this money. So. It could be rough, especially if was that a new author that paid that?
He wasn't necessarily new, but he was incarcerated.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like he really didn't have computer access to know who's who and what's what like that. But, you know, hey, he was proud of it, so. But nothing I could do or say.
Well, for $3,500, he better be proud. Play it off, bro. That's a lot of money. For a book trailer. When folks are out there, $50, $100, and call it a life.
Pretty much. So where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Let's see. Well, I hope I can be sitting next to Oprah or Shonda Rhimes sometime within the next 5 years. The book is being turned into a play, and I am currently taking Shonda Rhimes classes right now as we speak. So, you know, I hope to see great, great things happen within the next 5 years with the storyline.
That's great. Congratulations on the play and on being able to take Shonda Rhimes. What was it, the script writing class?
Yeah, it's Masterpiece something class. I just started it a couple of days ago, actually. Somebody gifted me the class, which was even better.
Now that's really sweet, yeah.
It was. It was truly a blessing. One of
Shout out to whoever that was that invested in your future.
Yeah, and you know, the funny part about it is I just recently met them. I haven't even known them for, you know, more than 2 weeks. And
wow.
They had paid for a class and was trying to gift it to someone else, and the other person had already bought the class. And so, you know, they didn't feel that they needed it, and the first person they thought about was me. So that was awesome.
That was very sweet. God bless them. And a lot of times, that's how our blessings come, you know, from the most unexpected places ever. So.
Yes. Yes, that was definitely unexpected. But, you know, she was so sweet about it. I was like, no, I can't. She was like, yes, you can. I thought you were the first person I thought about. And I was like, Lord, this is, like, really, really good. So,
yes.
Yeah. Shout out to my new friend. She know who she is. But she was phenomenal in my eyes to something is great, because this will definitely change my life. So
absolutely. Hey, friend.
She's out there somewhere. She might be listening. I don't know, but.
Well, she can always catch the replay.
Yeah. I'll let her know about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's one of those people. You know what I like about people like her? She's one of those people that she doesn't want the credit. Like, she doesn't want it advertised that she did something nice. This is just who she is. So that's
right.
The best part about it. Because it's
Absolutely.
Coming straight from the heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love those people like that. I call those people angels on earth. And on that note, we are going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Do you need hot new graphics? Do you need your book edited, proofread, typeset, or formatted? Then contact me, Allison M. Deese, CEO of Allison Edits, and that's Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Edits, EDITS.com.
The streets are talking about the hottest urban fiction novel on the market right now. A Legal Life, a North Philly Story by Jay Sarone, is a reality-based saga which is entertaining, educational, and relatable to readers from different age groups and all backgrounds. Purchase a copy for yourself or someone you love today and find out what all the buzz is about. Ebook versions available online at iTunes, Kobo, and in Terracite. Paperback copies currently available at quality retailers nationwide. Brought to you by Paper Tape Publications, the ultimate in urban literature.
And we're back. For those who may have just tuned in, I'm Allison M. Deese, your host of The Love Line. And tonight we have Teresa V. Howell. Welcome back, Teresa.
Thank you.
So, tell me, who are some of your favorite authors?
Vanessa Miller is becoming a favorite right now. I got a whole series that she did, the Rain series.
Yeah.
And I'm getting deep into that. I like Kimberla Voss and Roby, some of her books. I can't say I like all of them, but I do like some of them. And I know this is not a Christian fiction author, but for some reason, I started to read some of Kira Allen's books.
Okay.
And I like her writing because she's very, very descriptive. So, you know, that's kind of teaching me how to develop characters. So I really, you know, got into her book, Devout, and halfway through that. And
okay.
Yeah, I don't normally read that kind of genre, but her descriptive, how she describes the characters from their backgrounds and things like that, I think she's very, very, very thorough. So I'm enjoying reading that for those reasons. And I do like, African sci-fi author. Her last name is Butler. I can't remember her first name, but she's deceased, but she has a lot of books out.
It was Octavia Butler?
Octavia Butler, yes. I do like her books as well. And she's very descriptive, too. I like to read books like that. I have a couple of Kay Ritchie books. And so, yeah, there's a couple of favorites.
Okay. Well, I'll have to turn you on to the author who I interviewed Wednesday evening. She's an African-American sci-fi writer. Her name is Angela J. Ford. I'll have to connect the two of you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that would be great because I like reading different genres to see how people connect characters and events and things like that. So
absolutely.
It helps me a lot in my writing to be a better writer. So I shout out to all those veterans out there that have all these good books out there so that I can read and learn.
Absolutely. So what is your writing? Did I ask you this? Can't remember, but what is your writing process like? For me, I know I have to have like my favorite, either my favorite coffee or my favorite even flavored water and snacks and music in my ears and tune out the whole rest of the world. What is your writing process like?
Well, because I'm a mother with children with different age gaps that are crazy,
mm-hmm.
I have learned that I can write anywhere, anytime, around any type of noise, from the CIAA finals to, I mean, I was writing while they was yelling and screaming.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. And I've just learned how to do that in chaos because as a special educator,
okay.
I'm a director, you know, over a program, so
mm-hmm.
I'm always stopping what I'm doing and trying to help a teacher with children and things like that, or trying to transfer kids from place to place, make sure that they're safe and all that good stuff. So dealing with that kind of chaos on the job, and then I come home with kids and husband, and everybody's a sports fan, and we're always watching something sports-related, you know, I can write anywhere.
Well, you know, that's great, and it's times when I could do that. Like, sometimes I find myself just writing on my phone, no matter where
yes,
I am.
Yes, I've done that, too. Mm-hmm.
But,
I've done that, too. And when we went on vacation recently, my husband didn't want me to bring my computer, even though I snuck it in anyway. But there were times when we were on the beach, and I just pulled out my phone and opened up my docs, information and started writing right there from my phone.
Right.
I had no clue, you know, that I was actually working on my book. But I got a lot done that week, so.
Well, vacation was just what you needed for a whole nother purpose.
Right. So, as long as he didn't know, he probably knows now when he listens to this recording, but yeah, I wrote like 15 chapters while we were on the beach. So.
Thanks for the vacay, hubby. Can't wait to read the book that came from said vacation.
Yep. So, yeah, I've learned to adjust. Now, I do have my quiet moments when I'm trying to re-edit. And,
right.
You know, I have when I'm talking. I was told that if you read the chapters out loud, you'll find the greatest mistakes. And that seems
right.
to work for me as well. So,
yes.
Yeah, I've been doing that lately and clearing up the manuscript. So those are times that I might need quiet time.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Very understandable. Does writing energize you like it does some people, or exhaust you? Because I know some people, writing can almost be like performers when they're on stage and they give all of themselves, and then when they, you know, get off stage, it's like they're spent. There's nothing mm-hmm. left.
It's very exhausting for me, mm-hmm. and maybe because of my age of writing. So I think if I would have did this maybe like 20 years ago, I'd have a different, a different response. But at the age that I am now, just trying to find energy to deal with my job alone is enough. So writing can, you know, can really wear you out, especially when you're trying to perfect it and make sure that you're making sense even. With some of the characters. So, yeah, it's exhausting for me. Like, after writing, I gotta take a nap.
That's how I feel about editing my own book. Now I'm an editor, so editing other people's books is easy. But when it's time to do self-edits before turning it over to my editor, I'm like, girl, I don't want to do this. You know, so.
It could be rough. Especially when you're trying to, if you're a perfectionist like me, like you really want to make it right, it can be really rough. And then, you know, I'll write a little, and then I'll go read a little because I'm like, maybe I didn't develop this character enough. Let me go read this book and see how this person did it. And it's like, you get exhausted.
Yeah.
You out. So.
It can, but, you know, we'll do anything to make a reader smile and give them something to enjoy.
It is worth it in the end, most definitely, when it's a finished product. But, Lord, the time it takes to get a finished product.
it is like a labor, like labor, or like a labor of love, because by the time you get done, you actually hold it in your hands, completed. You know, it's like holding a newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that feeling was just going to be with my first book. But no matter how far I get into, you know, no matter how many books I release, each book becomes my new baby. So I definitely get it. Definitely.
Do you do your own covers too? Because I see you're very creative with your flyers and stuff.
Thank you. Some of them I do. The ones that I self-publish, I do them myself. The book I have out and the books that are coming out under Urban, the first one, the one that's out now, Try a Little Tenderness, I did the prototype and submitted it to be the possible cover, and they actually chose it and only changed one of the fonts on the cover, but left the rest of the cover exactly as I had done it. So I guess so far to date of everything that's released, I guess I have done it myself.
That's good.
Yeah, I love it. Graphic design for me is so relaxing. It's like most of the time, it's almost like cutting coupons to me, which is a little known fact. Yes, Allison loves to cut coupons. Doesn't matter if I need the coupon or not. To me, just clipping coupons and either watching TV or listening to music, that's like my little halfway.
I tried to get into that. I was not organized. I had the book and everything, and I still couldn't get it together. I'm like, maybe this ain't for me.
Well, it's not even couponing, because I end up clipping all of them and giving most of the ones that I don't or would never use away. So I don't know if it's just the cutting them out that relaxes me or what, but it's like me, that's almost like going to the spa and getting a mani pedi or something. So.
Well, you gotta do something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
But you seem very talented because I've been watching you for a minute, so I myself desire to kind of get into graphics, but you know, because after a while you get tired of paying people and you want to learn how to do it. But hopefully one day I can get there and kind of start doing my own stuff. But
yeah,
trying to feel my way around.
And a couple of friends keep telling me I should teach a class, but I'm one of those people who I taught myself, and so that's the kind of teacher I am. So I'm not sure if I would be patient enough to teach more than one person, you know, one at a time. I don't know if I'd be patient enough to teach.
You never know until you try. I think you would do great, because
Thank you.
Yeah. You're so talented. You can't keep all that talent to yourself. Share the love.
Well, I'm not trying to keep it to myself. I had never really pictured myself teaching nobody.
Oh, yeah. I think you would do a great job. And there's so many of us out here that really need that training. Like, there really should have been some type of course out there, like author one-on-one. So that way we could have known about the graphics world. We could have learned about, you know, the editing world. Because my first book had four editors. And you talking about wasting money. Like, two of them, I can guarantee they didn't do anything to for it. So, you know, if I would have knew more about what kind of editor to look for, you know, to look for an editor in my genre, that would have been very important, because you can't get a street lit editor to be editing Christian fiction. I mean, you know, it's just so many things I wish I would have known instead of just wasting money. So, yeah. Go and get that class, girl.
Okay. Had I thought of that when you first came to me, I would have told you that try to find somebody that at least has experience in your genre, whether it's writing in your genre themselves or has edited more than one book in your genre. So
right. Yeah, I had no clue. The first person that edited my book, I'm not even going to say her name because I don't want to put it after you, but she's been writing since the early 2000s, and all her book was erotica books. I had no clue. I was referred to her by a friend that I grew up with in Boston, and she edited his book.
Was his book an erotica book?
No, his book was like a crime, urban.
Okay, but it's an easier transition for someone to go from erotica to a crime drama or a crime novel.
Yeah, so she did his book, and, well, she actually did both of his books. He has two books out. And so he said, well, she's the best, you got to try her. And so I was like, okay. So I get with her not realizing how much money this was going to cost me, because I wanted a developmental editor. Not knowing her background, I just knew that she had a publishing company. She used to be with some magazine back in the day. And, you know, I thought, okay, maybe this will work. Well, it was funny because, like, the first couple of scenes when they were actually having church, she would always kind of, like, go against me being descriptive about them having church service. So, make a long story short, I found out in the end she doesn't even attend church.
Well, that's okay for the listeners out there, because a lot of authors and aspiring authors do come back and listen to these shows. Lesson number one, like, for those of us who write Christian fiction, and no, that's not my only genre, but that is one of my genres and the main genre that I write in at the time, at this time. So at least work with someone who knows what a church service is like and has been to church recently. At least sometime this year.
I don't know if she was Catholic. I don't know if she was an atheist. I don't know nothing about the lady. All I know was when I got to the scene where they were praising God, she was like, it's just too much dancing going on. It's just too much praise. It's just too much jumping around. She was like,
well, now she could have grown up. What is that that they don't really say anything until the preacher is finished, and then they say these quiet little amens. What denomination is that? That's not Presbyterian, is it?
I don't know.
That sounds like Protestant, actually. Protestant. Whatever now, if I'm wrong, somebody please kindly inbox me or email me and just tell me I'm wrong. You ain't got to blast me out and say, you know you was wrong.
Whatever religion she came from or whatever she did, she never
had
been
no
in a coach church.
About, yeah, I was just going to say, if you ain't been to a non-denominational or Kojic or even Baptist for that matter, then I don't know. You don't know.
It was rough. I was like, I got to have these scenes because this is what they do in my church. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah. That was a learning lesson. Okay, number two. What you going to say, number two, for the new author? Go ahead.
All right. Number two for my new authors. Make sure that your editor has actually edited before. I mean, everybody needs a first time, true. If you're going to give somebody a first time chance, let them be like your proofreader or your final editor who just goes through, well, that's basically a proofreader, but the person who just basically goes through and does your final sweep for you before you do your final sweep and submit your work to the printer or to your publisher or whoever. Know your editor. Make sure your editor knows what type of editor they are.
Right.
I have a post that says, for my Allison Edits business, that says, if your editor does not know the difference between copy and developmental editing, then you need a new editor.
That's the best advice you could give. Because I'm telling you, it was rough. Yeah.
Speaking of advice, do you have any advice for future aspiring or current aspiring authors?
Yes, if you get inboxed by anybody that you don't know, let me say this, do your research before giving any money or believing their services. There is a person that is out there, it's a male, that inboxed me and promised me radio and some other things. And I gave him like $100, but you would have thought that, I don't know. You would have thought I gave him $1 million the way he was reacting to trying to get more money and trying to say he did all these things when he did not. He does not do what he says he's going to do. And he ended up inboxing all of my friends after I kind of put the word out. So he is seeking new authors, and he's going to take your money and he's going to promise you that he can get you on television and radio and all these different things. This has been his hook since 2007. He's been actually arrested for fraud. He's done time. and I think he has a mental illness. He is an ex-military con artist. So I wish I could say his name on the radio to save everybody's life, but just know if you get an inbox from a man talking about radio, stay far, far away.
I'm going to ask you a question,
mm-hmm.
and all you got to say is yes or no. Are their initials, are their online initials R-A?
R-A. They do have an A. Mm-hmm. And there's a G in there somewhere.
Okay. You just said a G. Now you're throwing me off because all the other clues you gave me pointed to the person who did that messy $3,500 book trailer.
Oh, Lord. Well, there is a female out there, too, that is, and she's well known. She's in the graphic industry. She's very, very well known. She has completed some covers for some people, but there are a lot of covers she has not completed. And she will tell you she's dying, and she is not. She has gotten a lot of authors to send her money based upon her illness. They even feel sorry for her, start sending money for medicine, and girl ain't sick for real. She's been doing this for about 6 years. So it's just a lot of people out there that making a killing.
Yeah.
I know you know this one because she's very well known.
I'm going to need you to inbox me that name when we get off the air.
Yes, ma'am. But I try to warn as many people. And it was so funny because the week that it, well, after I had went through all of it with this person, I started telling my friends about it and some people in the lit world and some of the people that did my promotion. And sure enough, that guy showed up in their inboxes like a week later. And they was like, oh, my God, he hit me up. He hit this one up. So he went like through 20 authors within a week of the people that we knew. So, you know, telling how many other people he hit up trying to get money for his false services. So, yeah. But he's been reported. People know what state he lives in, but they don't. It's hard to kind of catch up to people like that because they're doing all of it on Facebook.
Right.
So,
well, we only have a couple minutes left. You could tell our readers how they can discover more about you and where they can get your books. That would be great. And I thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. This was the quickest hour ever.
Isn't it?
I have a website. I could be reached at teresabhowell.com. I'm on Amazon. I have a Facebook author account, Teresa B. Howell Author. I am on Instagram as Teresa B. Howell. I am on Twitter as Teresa W-I-V. And I
no one
doctor myself,
find you on Twitter.
I have a self-publishing company called Walking in Victory International, and I have a website for that, walkinginvictoryint.com, and
okay.
I also have a Twitter page for that as well, WIVI info. So if you are interested in finding my books, you can get them on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There are a couple of Barnes & Noble stores that are carrying them inside the store, but most of it's done online.
All right. And thank you so much for coming on, Teresa.
Well, thank you for having me, and I hope to talk to you again soon when book two comes out.
You know you will. You know you definitely will. Thank you so much, and have a good night. And everybody, thank you. And you have been tuned in. Bye-bye. You have been tuned in with The Love Line. I am your host, Allison Mbeese. Of course, you can reach me at AllisonMbeese.com. You can also reach me on Love Line with Allison Weebly.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Allison MDs, on Instagram at Loveline with Allison, on Facebook Loveline with Allison, and of course I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and everywhere else under my personal pages as well. Thank you so much, and have a great night.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.